Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kelly F. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Today is Tuesday, June 24th, 2024, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Vision for You meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in There Is a Solution. Thank you, God. Page 27, third paragraph. He said to the doctor, through two paragraphs ending with an alcoholic of your description, and we'll be commenting on both those paragraphs. So today's readers are the 12 steps, are Susan G, 12 traditions. We're going to have maybe Lois G, but maybe Benita L. We'll find out. Lynn S is reading the text. Nancy R reading page 164, and Benita L. She's our backup. She's ready to go. Our newcomer greeter is Chris W. Second hour host is Colleen M. And the reference number for yesterday, Monday, June 24th, 2024, the 7 a.m. Eastern time is 21510, 21510. And the 10 a.m. Eastern time is 21511, 21511. So here's the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, quote, each group has but one primary purpose, its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers, end quote. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now have Susan G. read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Kelly, and good morning, everyone. So glad we're all here today. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, Susan G., and the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous are: Step 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Step 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me give service this month, and I pass.
Thanks, Susan. Appreciate your service. Okay, I guess we'll go ahead and have Benita L. read our 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hi, I'm from Georgia, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA's unity. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, our OA group will never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never to be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinions on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never to be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Vanita, for stepping up for that. So here's how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in There is a Solution, page 27, third paragraph, starts with, he said to the doctor, through two paragraphs ending with, an alcoholic of your description, and comments will be on both paragraphs, and Lynn S. is going to get us started. Hey, Lynn.
Good morning, Kelly. Good morning, Vision. He said to the doctor, is there no exception? Yes, replied the doctor, there is. Exceptions to cases such as yours have been occurring since early times. Here and there, once in a while, alcoholics have had what are called vital spiritual experiences. To me, these occurrences are phenomena. They appear to be in the nature of huge emotional displacements and rearrangements. Ideas, emotions, and attitudes which were once the guiding forces of the lives of these men are suddenly cast to one side, and a completely new set of conceptions and motives begin to dominate them. In fact, I've been trying to produce some such emotional rearrangement within you. With many individuals, the methods which I employed are successful, but I have never been successful with an alcoholic of your description. Good morning, Vision. My name is Lynn S., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. What a miracle. What a miracle. And I've been sitting here saying, I have no idea what to say to this paragraph. Because how does, you know, you can read the words and you can read the words, and doesn't it sound wonderful? And wouldn't you like that? And yeah, whatever, you know. But when you've actually experienced it, it's so profound. And all I know is the ideas and emotions and attitudes which were once the guiding forces of my life, like anger, fear, worry, complete annihilation of the spirit, dread, misery, were completely replaced. And the best thing I can think to do is tell part of my story. I came to an OA meeting. I came home and I prayed to God, if there was one, help me sleep through the night, because I would get up every morning at 3 and go and get my binge foods and eat my face off and just so miserable. And I went to bed that night, and at 3 o'clock in the morning, my eyes sprang open, and I thought, here we go again. And I heaved myself out of the side of the bed, and I looked at the clock, and it was 7:30 in the morning. I had slept the night through. Never in years had that ever happened. And when I woke up that morning, I was transformed, swearing, stealing, littering, lying, and cheating were removed from me, as was the obsession to eat. I couldn't believe it. I used to sound like a truck driver. I was terrified all the time. I lied when the truth would have served me better. I couldn't trust anything that came out of my mouth or any thought that I had. And a whole new set of conceptions and ideas and beliefs started to fill me as I kept coming to OA. It is such a profound experience when it happens to you. It looks like words on the page. But coming into program, living by the spiritual principles that God gifted to us through Bill Wilson, what a miracle. What a miracle. And to have the obsession of food lifted when it plagued me for the first 36 years of my life. This is truly an amazing experience. I feel so blessed. I don't know what else to say except I am so very grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Lynn. Thank you for getting us started. All right, guys, we are now going to open up the meeting for sharing. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared last Friday or yesterday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. And please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible. And I'll allow you, please give me your first name, initial of your last, and where you're calling from.
Helen G.
Katie G.
Arizona.
Katie S. from Boston.
Elena C.
Elena C.
Yeah. Okay. Here's who I have. Harlan, Katie, Tina, and Elaine. That's all I got so far.
Elena
G.
from the UK. Mary B. from the UK.
Rick J.
Mary.
Leo A.
Was there Carol?
Elena C.
Elena C.
Yeah. I got you, Elena.
Pete B.
Okay. Okay, here's who I have, and we're going to stop here. So if you said your name already, then let me know, but here's who I heard so far. Harlan G., Katie C., Tina S., Elena C., Mary B., Rick J., Leia, Carol, Nick, and Pete. Did you already say your name and I didn't hear you? All right, well, this is a really great lineup, so let's press star one, so we'll have a nice quiet meeting. And when you give your name, give your initial and where you're calling from. So first up is Harlan G., followed by Katie G. Good morning, Harlan.
Good morning, Kelly. Thank you very much for your service this morning. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. And he's begging Dr. Jung. This is 1932. He went to see Jung in 31. This is 32. Yes, replied the doctor, there is, to the question, is there no exception? Exceptions such as yours have been occurring since early times. He says, here and there, once in a while, alcoholics have had what are called vital spiritual experiences. In other words, he didn't tell him to get a new job. He didn't tell him to buy new shoes. He needs a vital spiritual experience, and he calls it, he's going to call it a phenomenon. Well, let's take a look at something in this paragraph that is extremely important for me to remember. And what I need to remember in this paragraph is how many times and in how many different ways is Dr. Jung going to refer to the phenomenon, or not the phenomenon, the change, the word change. This is what he says. They appear to be in the nature of huge emotional displacements, change, and rearrangements change. Ideas, emotions, and attitudes, which were once the guiding forces of the lives of these men, are suddenly cast to one side. Change. Somebody's doing their dishes. And a completely new set of conceptions change and motives change begin to dominate them. In fact, I have been trying to produce some such emotional rearrangement change within you. Now, what I did in this disease was I kept doing the same failed activities, dieting. The doctor put me on diet pills, trying to beg God to kill me. I didn't want to live in this world. Until I changed my emotions, attitudes, and behaviors, nothing got different. And somebody very wise, who's unfortunately no longer alive, said to me years ago, if you want different, you got to do different. And I kept trying to force the hippopotamus out through the dog door. And by trying to force this hippopotamus out through the dog door, that's a metaphor for me trying to do the same thing over and over and over again, and I wanted different results. If I want different, I have to do different. Now, I also had to learn that there's only one way to relieve this disease, and that is through spiritual means. Money, lack of money, fame, fortune, whatever, poverty, nothing of this earth is going to make one difference. Nothing of this earth caused this disease. Nothing of this earth is going to alleviate this disease. I must have a vital spiritual awakening. I never had a spiritual
awakening.
All right,
well, that's fine.
Okay, that's enough out of me. Thank you so much, Kelly. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Harlan. Next up, we have Katie G, followed by Tina S. Good morning, Katie. Where are you calling from?
Good morning, everyone. This is Katie G. Kelly, thanks for taking the meeting. Wow, what an incredible paragraph. You know, I think it's really interesting. I came into Overeaters Anonymous because I wanted my weight to be under control. I wanted the food to be under control. And what happened is I got into OA 20 years ago, and I got abstinent. And this stuff, these changes, were not happening. So for me, you know, in a state of entire abstinence, I was not feeling this. I was living in what they call the bedevilments, which is being possessed by misery, depression. I remember going to work, like from the moment I woke up in the morning to the moment I went to bed at night, I was plagued with fear. I remember talking to a sponsor at like 5 a.m. and just begging her to tell me what needs to change. And I wasn't doing the spiritual work. I was praying, but I was blocked. I had never done a real step four as we do now in the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous, right? I had never looked at character defects. I had never made amends. And so in the rooms of OA, I was having what I hear alcoholics call a lot of sobriety, right? Not sobriety, but sobriety. I was a dry drunk. I couldn't have relationships with anybody. I was alienating myself even in the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous. And I love that the vital spiritual experience gives me life. Vital means life-giving, like our vital signs. They check our vital signs when we're in the emergency room or in a doctor's office to make sure I'm getting my oxygen and my heart is beating and things like that. So they're telling me to make sure that my heart is beating and whatnot. I need to have a spiritual experience. And as a recovered woman today, it's very important for me to remember that I have to have this new attitude. You know, I don't know about you guys, and some of you may feel differently, and that's totally okay. But for me, I have to live in step 10, 11, and 12, and it's a lot easier to say than do. And what that means is that even in hardship, I ask God at once to remove it. I discuss it with someone immediately. I make amends quickly, and I help others, right? I need to be sober, considerate, and helpful, regardless of what anyone says or does. And you know what? That woman that was so afraid, me being so afraid, my teeth were clenched. I'm not that person anymore. I lean into God. Do I get fear? Of course I do. I'm a human being, but I trust God. I clean house and I help others. And that is my entire solution. So I'm so grateful to have my seat with all of you. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Katie G. And that's Katie G from Boston, Mass. So next up, we have Tina S. followed by Elena C. Tina, where are you calling from?
Thanks for your service, Kelly. Tina S., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic in Florida. Yeah, wow. Some great shares this morning. Hard to follow, but, you know, I'm so grateful that I always know that I'm in the right place when I'm on this line. You know, I was actually thinking about this stuff this morning. You know, I'm working some overtime in my job, so I got up and started work at 4 o'clock this morning, and I just kind of laugh because I was actually thinking about, like, 35 years ago, and I don't even know why, but it was like, you know, I was just floundering. You know, I was in the booze and in the food at the time, and You know, and I love that we're talking about, you know, a vital spiritual experience, because that is exactly what had to happen for me. But that is not what I wanted when I got here, you know. And so I floundered for a long time. And, you know, one of the things that I know today is that this has happened. You know, I've had that huge emotional displacement and rearrangement of my ideas, emotions, and my attitudes, you know. And I, too, was like, early on, driven by anger and fear and, you know, self-centeredness and all that, and ego. And, you know, and today, you know, through the transformation that for me, that only came about through working these 12 steps, you know, and, you know, and that happened because, you know, I wanted what people had, you know, and I always say this because it's the truth. I used to sit by people and thinking, if I just sit close enough that I'll get this, you know, and then I heard people saying, if you want what I have, you're going to do what I do, you know, and that's exactly what I didn't want to do, but that's exactly what I had to do. You know, I was desperate and I was doomed, you know, and so I got a sponsor and I really wanted the life that she had, you know. But what happened for me is I changed, and that's what that transformation is all about. I'm a different person today, you know, and, you know, that's as good as it gets. And that's the good news, because then I can be different in my life today. And then, you know, and I always say this, and I used to like, day when people said, you know, I have a life beyond my wildest dreams. And today I do, you know. And if I'd have settled for what I wanted when I got here, I would have certainly shortchanged myself. This is some great stuff. So I'm really looking forward to hearing what others have to share. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Well, thanks, Tina F. Next up, Elena C., followed by Mary B. Good morning, Elena. Where are you calling from?
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. My name is Elena C. from Greenville, South Carolina, recovered for today. So this is one of the best stories to me from this big book. And, you know, this interaction between Carl Jung and Roland is absolutely amazing. And why? Until Dr. Jung, no psychoanalyst in the West introduced and understood how spirituality can help people. So what Dr. Jung is saying here is that his psychoanalytic approach of helping others, and his psychoanalytic approach is absolutely phenomenal, introduces, because, you know, Roland is different. Roland is not better or worse than the people Dr. Jung worked with. Roland's body and mind is different. And Roland, like us, needs a community to recover. So Dr. Jung is sending Roland to Oxford group. And I think that saved his life, you know. So Dr. Jung uses spirituality because of, he was very, with a father who was a priest, and he was very religious, yet his higher power is making him understand that it's not the religion he needs to use with people. It's the spirituality
is the spirituality, just like our program. You know, this program is not religious, it's spiritual. This program is for everybody and everyone because it's not religious. God is never exclusive, is always inclusive. So, you know, that is absolutely amazing. And just like me, you know, using the spirituality, God of my understanding, by staying in the 10, 11, 12 steps of recovery. That's what saves my life one day at a time. And then ultimately, step 12, continuing to think of others, not of myself and my, you know, my issues, my fears, my resentment, but focus my attention on how, what I can do for others today is getting me out of my finite self and helping me carry God's message in the world. Thank you,
Elena,
so
that's
much
fine
for waiting. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much. Next up, we have Mary B., followed by Rick J. Good morning. Where are you calling from?
Hello, this
Mary
is Mary B. calling from the UK. Hello there. My name is
Mary,
I'm a recovered compulsive eater, and from the UK. Thank you very much for moderating the meeting. Thanks to everybody who's read, shared, and made it possible. And, the things that I connect to in this section are the description of the vital spiritual experience. So for me, vital means life or death. You know, it's about vitality, life, you know. Life-giving spiritual experience. And I, you know, the spiritual experience that comes with steps 1, 2, and 3 and then work the decision to work the rest of the program, it's easy, it had been easy for me with my compulsive eating to dismiss it as a bit, well, you know, it's kind of like somebody described it as being kicked to death by a bunny rabbit. But I would say that this disease is much more serious than that. You know, I am also an alcoholic, but this disease is what really sent me to the mental jumping off point, as well as some of the physical effects of it. And that vital, life-giving spiritual experience is something that I cannot underestimate. And the fact that a spiritual experience brings around a transformation in attitude, which will then allow me to stay abstinent, would be beyond my conception to begin with. You know, how could spiritual principles simply help me? Well, the compulsive eating equivalent of putting the plug in the jug, as they say in AA, would be to, how could I stop my hand reaching for the things that did not work? How could I stop my mind going to, that will make me feel better, you know, that X, Y, Z food will make me feel better, that restriction, that control, that compulsive exercising to get rid of X, Y, Z food. How did all of that thinking transform into seeing that in my powerlessness there could be a freedom through living my life according to spiritual principles, which would remove the need to go there and look for a sense of ease and comfort in something that was clearly a destructive influence on my life? So, you know, in the preceding paragraph, it talks about the gates of hell clanging shut. And then this paragraph, it talks about transformation and freedom. And isn't it an incredible way that the Big Book delivers the message of constantly providing those promises and that hope to the reader, and not saying that people know better or have acquired some knowledge? It's just that they have experienced, they have lived experience of being delivered from the problem. They have a solution to living, and that's just really blown me away today. And the fact that I also get to carry this message to other people is a privilege and an honor. And there are times when I think I haven't got the resources to do it, but I have everything with my higher power, with the book, and with others who are traveling alongside me on this journey. So I'm very grateful today. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share, and I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Perfect timing, Mary B. Before we move on, I'm going to tell you guys where we're at. Let's see, we are, we're in the big book, and we're in, there's a solution, page 27, third paragraph. He said to the doctor, through two paragraphs ending with an alcoholic of your description, and people are commenting on both those paragraphs. And so next up, we have Rick J. followed by Leah S. Good morning, Rick. Where are you calling from?
Good morning, Kelly. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Rick J. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm calling from Cary, North Carolina. And the exception, you know, is the solution, which is a spiritual experience. And I love that we're talking about this today, and I've gotten so much out of the shares, and my heart is so full, and now when I'm actually talking, everything's getting kind of jumbled up just because it's, you know, it's so powerful. You know, this is everything. This spiritual experience, it is vital. It's absolutely necessary. It is all about change. It's about spiritual transformation. You know, and they repeat the last three words on this page, vital spiritual experience, you know, just like the big book does, you know, they're going to drive a point home by repeating it. And, you know, in the previous page, it talked about, you know, that we have had deep and effective spiritual experiences, which have revolutionized our whole attitude toward life, toward our fellows, and toward God's universe. Beautiful language. And, you know, I know Dr. Silkworth, you know, called it, you know, an essential psychic change, you know, like there had to be something going on that was beyond anything that these professional doctors could do, because they both were, you know, in situations where everything they could bring to their patient was not effective. So here I'm seeing that for me, I'm just a garden variety compulsive overeater. And when I went through the actions that lead me and connect me to my higher power, then I can spiritually transform. You know, step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, you know, we tried to carry this message to others and practice these principles in all our affairs. It's all about the spiritual awakening, the spiritual transformation, you know, the change that we have to go through. You know, and spiritual for me, you know, I looked it up, and it's relating to the human spirit or soul. And I've always felt that I was born with a hole in my soul, and I was looking for anything to fill it. And only this power greater than me can fill it in my soul for this soul sickness I have. And this is truly the solution. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Rick J. So next up we have Leah S. followed by Carol. Good morning, Leah. Where are you calling from?
Good morning, Kelly. First of all, thank you so much for hearing my name. This is really a maneuvering to listen to everyone and calling on me. Thank you. And my name is Leah S. I'm calling you from Brooklyn, New York, and I'm so grateful to be on this meeting today. So they're talking about so many things over here, and I just want to say something about myself. I was the eater that, the kind that my mouth did not go, not really stop the entire day until I literally fell asleep. And I mean this literally. I mean this really, really. I'm like the real McCoy. And I kept saying, I'm not going to find recovery, but something kept pushing me to come to these meetings, maybe. And that intense feeling, like I'm not going to find the solution, was reversed 180 degree angle. And the way it happened was when I finally said, okay, here we go. I can't do this. I only have this meal. I only have that meal. And I wasn't the person who got up in the middle of the night. Unfortunately, I zonked out every night. I couldn't get up in the middle of the night, but I feared getting up in the morning because I knew what was going to happen. And when that first change happened, I started crying. And I realized that I'd never let my emotions come through either. If that is not spiritual, my God, there were real tears. And then I started understanding, let go, Leia, let go. And just, even if you don't understand this higher power, you just can't go through this pain anymore. It's finally come to enough is enough. And that was my first spiritual experience. And it kept leading me to more experiences that were just so unbelievable that keep on going. They keep on going because the intensity of wanting to learn more and to do more and to actually live more is so powerful. And thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Leia F., for your share. Next up, I have Carol, followed by Nick F. Carol, I did not get the initial of your last name, and where are you calling from?
I have a feeling it might have been Cheryl A. Oftentimes people hear me as Carol.
Probably.
Could I go actually after the next person, though? I'm in a place where I think my dog's going to bark too much.
Okay.
Could I go?
Thanks.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, all right. All right, Nick F., I'm going to let you go ahead. Nick, are you ready?
I am. Good morning, family. I'm Nick F. from Pulse of Overeater. It's such a privilege to be here with you all this morning. I like the simplicity of just changing these words to change. Changing it to change. Phenomenon, spiritual experience. Actually, my first sponsor and my first fellowship that I worked the 12 steps in was AA, and I was being taken through the big book through a recovered cocaine addict and alcoholic. And every time we got to that spiritual experience, he would take me to Appendix 2, and he would say, let's read the spiritual experience. And I would say, again? And now that I'm abstinent, changes. Some happen all of a sudden, white lightning. Ever since March 25th, 2021, I've had no desire to kill myself with sugar. Some shit just happened, white lightning, a big boom, pow, wham, and a bam. And other things come by the educational variety. I have to very much live trial and error, like how raising my kids, getting custody back of my kids. I was separated from my kids when I started pouring alcohol on top of Adderall and Vyvanse and Seroquel. I was separated from my kids. And so now I have my children these last 2 years. And I got the privilege to look at my 13-year-old, and I said, son, I've never raised a 13-year-old before. And I got to ask him, I said, have you ever had a mom that was a recovering addict? And he said, no, ma'am. I said, so is it a possibility that we're both doing something wrong? And there's the possibility that we're both doing something right. See, for me today, that's a spiritual experience. That's a brand new outlook. That's a totally different, changed way of how I used to look at things. Because in my full-blown addiction, and let me qualify just in case you don't know, I was wearing a 5X over 400 pounds. I was sitting in one spot, couldn't move, couldn't breathe, didn't have a sex drive in my 30s, in my early 30s. And so I am an addict of the hopeless variety, but in this changed way of thinking, I get to say I'm sometimes right and I'm sometimes wrong. When I was in full relapse, I was always right. I was never wrong. That's a very closed mind way to live. So for me, this phenomenon, this is what's happened to me, is that I no longer hate myself, which is actually hating God, and I no longer hate others, which is hating God, what God has created. I get to be free. You know, I got a hostage bag that I carry around. It's got everything I need to eat, live and basically breathe in it. You know why I carry a hostage bag with me? It's because if I don't, I will be taken hostage. I can go anywhere and not be worried about wanting to eat someone else's food today. But this is what I need to take care of me. I don't want to leave it up to chance unless I just absolutely, by all means, have to. And I find that I actually never ever
time.
Really do that. Okay, so I thank God for all the change, and I thank God for all of you, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Nick F., and I think Nick's from Tennessee. It's just always good to know where people are from so you can look them up in the list. And I think we'll circle back to Cheryl. Cheryl, are you available?
Yes, I am. Hi, this is Cheryl A., recovered compulsive overeater in Brookline, Massachusetts. And I'm so grateful to say that word, recovered. And it is absolutely as a result of continuing, ongoing, and the initial, vital spiritual experiences that happened to me previously and continue as I continue to invest in my spiritual life. I love this paragraph so much. It is so filled with hope and clarity because it just presents the solution. And it also presents that, you know, when it says that he has never seen anyone basically recover in the kind of state that he was, like that's pretty ominous. Like no one is able to escape addiction once passed into the realms of the real alcoholic. It's there's only one thing, which is a vital spiritual experience. And what I know today is that vital spiritual experience is nothing less than being able to access and connect to the source inside of me that it provides the power I don't have. And it's so sad to think I could have gone and others could go throughout all of life, never accessing something that is just deep down within. And these 12 steps just teach us how to get to it. Because it's right there. It's right in front of us. It's kind of like, it's so simple. It's just locked behind a door, and the 12 steps are the key. And I'm so grateful to have the clarity to know that there's that 12-step process. And whenever I get confused or whenever I get overwhelmed, I need to do nothing less than say, which step is appropriate? What is my prescription? And if I can't figure it out, then I have a whole network of people who care about me that I can call. I can call my sponsor and say, what do I do? When I look at my children who are 10 and 13, and I think about the pain that began for me when I was probably starting about 8, I get what happened to me. Because if I think about all of that happening to them, being so alone, it breaks my heart. And now I can take care of that little girl inside of me. I can become who she always wanted to be through this vital spiritual experience that does take work and time and showing up here every day.
Cheryl, that's time.
Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day.
All right, next up we have Pete B., and then we'll open it up for a couple more shares. Good morning, Pete. Where are you calling from?
Good morning, Kelly. I'm calling from Pennsylvania, and my name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy. And I was going one way in my head, and then Cheryl shared, and I went an entirely different direction. And it's just so great to hear these things broken down the way that they are. And you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with recognizing that, you know, there is a solution in Bill's story where the first two chapters of the big book that were written. And the rest of the, you know, the steps and how it works and all that stuff, they weren't even a draft at this point, right, and when these were written. And what it's clearly calling out and what Bill's story clearly calls out is that they're aware and it's known that a spiritual experience was necessary to address the condition. And, you know, I always like to think what I'm doing is the thing to do. You know what I mean? The group that I'm in, that's the group to be in, and this is what we do. But we have to recognize that spiritual experiences, they're not exclusive to the 12-step recovery movement. And they're not exclusive to Overeaters Anonymous. And what we do here, it's not exclusive. You know, our book, somewhere in this book, somebody can tell me where it's at, but somewhere it says that, you know, if you have this condition, if when you start to eat, you can't stop, and once you do, when you decide to stop, you find you can't, then it says you may have this condition. And if you do, you may be suffering from a condition that only a spiritual experience will conquer. And they've been having spiritual experiences since the beginning of time. So, you know, the challenge is, you have to have an experience. And what our book tells us and the way it's laid out is the doctor's opinion says, well, we can have that experience if we're ingesting substances that cause the phenomenon of craving. It's the phenomenon of craving that blocks us from having that experience, right? The whole basis, the whole process is based upon entire abstinence. And so what the big book lays out, it doesn't lay out a program to stop eating. It doesn't lay out a program to stop drinking. It lays out a process to have a spiritual experience, right? And if done the way it's laid out, if it's done the way it's spelled out and we utilize the words that are in it, not the ones we want to substitute for it, it'll produce an effect. It'll produce a result that's 100% successful. It's done the way it's laid out. I even hear it's successful when you do it the way other people want to do it, because a lot of times people are doing it that's inconsistent with the way that the book lays out to do it. But it produces it 100% of the time. And the vital part of that is entire abstinence. We have to be entirely abstinent, right? The book was designed as an instruction manual. Not as something that our groups use as a basis for the group. It's designed as an instruction manual for the sufferer of this condition to have the experience, and we'll have it 100% of the time if we do it in entire absence. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you for sharing. So we're going to open up the floor for a few more shares. If you shared last Friday or yesterday at any vision meeting, please step back. All right, Deborah, gotcha.
Sorry, Anita J.
N.W.
Anita J.
Okay, I think I have everything. Deborah, Anita, and Kim.
Lee H.
I think, okay, if we have time. I got you on there, Lee. All right, so let's mute your phone, star one, and we'll get started with Deborah M., followed by Anita J. Good morning, Deborah. Where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm calling from Western New York. My name is Deborah M. Wow, this is a great chapter. Thank you all for your service. So I had, 40 years ago, a very definite spiritual awakening. It was sudden. It was exactly like Bill talked about. My life changed, completely different. Went overseas, wonderful life, and, of course, challenges. But at the same time, my disease was doing push-ups. Had no idea what it was. And slowly that disease overtook everything. And I could not understand, because I had that spiritual rearrangement. What am I doing wrong? Where did I miss God? It was all my fault. Didn't say the right prayers. All of those things. And so that disease just took over. And over a time, I began to realize there was a solution. And that I could pick it up and not walk away from the God of my understanding. I was able to understand the allergy of the body. It was a torturous process, but the allergy of the body and the twist of the mind, that was brand new. Even though I'm a nurse, I even worked in addiction, didn't understand it. But the big book began to give me solutions. I had to lay down preconceived ideas, which was hard, of how God desires to remove our addictions. And I realized that, you know what, this is a book of instructions. If I had diabetes, I would do exactly what I was supposed to do. So I started doing and taking actions to do things differently, and a deep awakening began to happen. And I have come to see clearly that working this program brings me to step 11 and 12, a greater understanding of the God of my understanding, a deeper understanding of the needs of other people, of how I'm to be of service to others. So if you're on the line and you have had a spiritual awakening, but yet you're still struggling with the disease, the big book, which is God-given, will help. And just do what it says to do. And that's all I have to share. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Deborah M. All right, next up, Anita J., followed by Ken W.H.
Thank you very much, Kelly. It's Anita J. Out in Westboro, Massachusetts, which is west of Boston. You know, I think God was trying to contact me for years because I've been in OA for decades, but I never paid attention until February 4th, 2014. And that's when I finally realized I can't have one. And that's when everything began to change. That's when my true abstinence began. And in the fifth step, when I gave it away and went to spend my 30 minutes alone with God and reviewed the book, I was in a daze. I was not of this world. I just, you get the idea. But then, making my amends, which by then I wanted to do, I finally saw clearly my part in things, which had been obscure for me because I didn't want to see it. And when I was making one of my amends, when I finished, that's when I had the rearrangement. The world went upside down, coming down from where I was at a retreat house, down the steps into the main room. It wasn't the same room. Everything had changed. Was this the real world, and I've been living in this other world? It doesn't matter. You know, none of it mattered. I just was so grateful. It didn't matter how many years I finally paid attention. I hope nobody leaves before these miracles happen. And the big change, too, is I can tell it in the humility I finally had, which I never knew how arrogant I was. And, you know, but you don't know what you don't know. And these 12 steps will show you. So if you want to know the truth, good to know the truth because this book shows you the way out if you will surrender. So with that, thank you, everybody. I just love this meeting. And with that, I pass.
Well, thanks, Anita J. So next up, we only have time for Ken W.H. Sorry, Lee. You can hopefully share in the second hour. All right, Ken, you're up. Ken, star one.
Hi.
Ken, are you there?
You called? You called Ken?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't think you heard my name. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive eater from North Carolina. I'll be brief. This is old information. Been around for thousands of years. This solution has been around for thousands of years. And it's laid out in some other literature and other places. There was a man once who said, the good that I want to do, I can't do, and what I don't want to do is what I do. Sounds like addiction to me. Sounds like being thoroughly out of control. And he went on to say, oh, wretched man that I am, who will save me from myself, basically, who will save me from this this body that does whatever it wants to do because it's under the control of addiction. And his next line is, thanks be to God. Spiritual experience, spiritual reality, spiritual need for a power greater than himself. In this case, Eclat said God, and that's what I would say too. But this solution has been around a long time. I think, this is just my opinion, that the Enlightenment blinded men of science to the possibility in the realm of the spirit, and that it took a spiritual readjustment, so to speak, or an emotional readjustment, mental readjustment, for scientists like Jung and others to even be open to the possibility again, perhaps, of a spiritual reality in these bodies of ours, of this body of mine, who needed to be rearranged, needed to be grabbed by the shoulders and shook up. And God did that for me, and today I'm abstinent because the Spirit has moved in me in a way that I could not move myself. Thanks for letting me share. Pass.
Well, thank you so much for sharing, Ken W.H., and perfect timing. Lee, I'm so sorry. Again, I hope you can stay on for the second hour tomorrow. Anyway, so, all right, well, thank you to everybody who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. This is a good one to share if you're nervous. The share ID for today's meeting that just finished, June 25th, 2024, is 21516, 21516. So we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. From Nancy R., please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, all. Nancy R., recovered compulsive overeater from Northwest Illinois. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny.